Hey, good evening, good morning, wherever you are in the world. Thank you for tuning in, guys. Glenn Blakeney here from Harvest City Church. I just want to say I am so blessed to have you guys here with us. I just want to let you know tonight we have a special time planned for you. We've got guests David and Lenny Chacko. They're going to be sharing in really about the context of this pandemic in scripture relating to the supernatural or the spiritual realm. You know, the Bible talks a lot about the spiritual realm. You know, in Ephesians 6, it says, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but we wrestle against powers and principalities and rulers of darkness in the heavenly realms. And the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 10, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty in God, meaning they're not natural. We don't fight according to the natural realm because there's a spiritual or a supernatural adversary that is wreaking havoc on the earth. Peter said that your adversary, the devil, goes around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. You know, I was thinking of Daniel 10 and how Daniel was praying, and for 21 days, it seemed that his prayers weren't being answered. And finally, the angel came and told him that the Lord had indeed heard his prayers, but there was a blockage in the spirit realm. The prince of Persia, which is most likely a principality, had actually hindered and blocked the way so that the messenger of God, the angelic messenger, was not able to get through to Daniel. So it's definitely a reality in the scripture, and we need to be heavenly minded. We need to understand what the Bible teaches about the spiritual realm, because often we try to do battle in the natural realm against a supernatural adversary. And so I want to just read from Acts chapter 2 this evening. And it says, starting in verse 17, and in the last days it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even on my male servants and my female servants, in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. Now, these are the words of Peter, of course, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, and he's speaking of what had just happened on the day of Pentecost with the coming of the Holy Spirit. And he's saying that one of the clear manifestations and evidences that the Holy Spirit is at work is people are experiencing revelation from God. He mentions dreams, visions, and then prophesying, which is declaring or speaking forth those things that God is revealing to his people by his Holy Spirit. So we recognize that God is a supernatural God. He's a God who's created us to encounter him in the spirit realm. Our spirit, it says in Romans, that his spirit bears witness with our spirit. And so that's an important thing. You know, just the other day when I was ministering, I went to John chapter 5. And in the Gospel of John chapter 5, Jesus is actually speaking to the religious leaders of his day. And he mentions that you've never heard God's voice, you've never seen his form, and his word does not abide in you. Then he continued, you diligently study the scriptures, or you search the scriptures, because you believe in these scriptures is eternal life. And these scriptures, Jesus said, they testify to me. They point to me, one translation says, but yet you refuse to come to me that you might have eternal life. You know, interestingly, when a child was being groomed to become a religious leader, say like a Pharisee, you know, when that child would turn 6 years of age, they would begin to memorize the Torah, which is Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. If they were really excelling and they were really diligent, then by the time they reached the age of 12, they would have memorized the entire Torah. At that point, those who were really diligent and committed, devoted, would be recommended to move forward, and they would be required or expected to memorize the entire Tanakh or Hebrew scriptures. In other words, the whole new Old Testament, the entire Old Testament. Can you imagine? And yet Jesus is speaking to these religious leaders, many of them who had memorized the entire Old Testament. And he said, you search the scriptures, you've diligently studied these scriptures, and yet you refuse to come to me that you might have life. They knew the word of God, but they did not know the God of the word. You know, we've heard people say this, and I do not mean this disrespectfully. I have a high regard for the word of God, for the scripture. And in fact, the scripture ultimately, I believe, is our canon. It's our standard for, you know, measuring if something is really of God or not. But we have to remember that the Bible speaks of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit actually brings to us revelation from the scriptures, but the scriptures without the Holy Spirit, they do not impart life to us. It's just the letter of the law. And so we have to recognize that the word of God, actually in Ephesians 6, Paul says, is the sword of the Spirit. So it's the Spirit of God causing us to understand the scriptures. And so it's very important that we recognize there is a place, says in 2 Corinthians 13, verse 14, where we have fellowship or communion with the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit whom Jesus sent to be with us. So guys, we're going to go into that tonight. How does the Holy Spirit speak to us? And in particular, what about this current time with this COVID-19 pandemic? Is the Spirit of God speaking to his people prophetically? Well, our guests, David and Lenny Chaco, have had some experiences from God, where in particularly some dreams in which the Holy Spirit has given them understanding and revelation on how we are to contend for breakthrough against this battle, in this battle, because we're not fighting just against a disease. There is a spiritual origin, because every good and perfect gift is from God. Bottom line is, you know what? Sin, sickness, death, all of this came into the world as a result of the fall. And so we know one day there will be no more sin, there will be no more sickness, there will be no more dying. But even now, we have to believe that God wants his people to operate in a place of authority where we can see people set free and delivered and healed of sickness and disease. Jesus did that. Acts 10:38 says he went around doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. So guys, I want to just say, put your seatbelts on. It's going to be an awesome night. We're going to have a great time together. Later on, we're going to allow you to ask some questions, and then we're going to conclude our time together praying and ministering to you. So tonight we have David and Lenny Chaco, and I'm going to bring them on right now, and they are going to be a great blessing to us. Wow. Thank you, David and Lenny. Great to see you guys tonight. I'm so glad that you're with us. Awesome. So tonight, you know, we've already talked a little bit about the program, the theme, the pathway we're going to go down. But before we start our discussion tonight and allow you guys to share, I was just thought it would be great for everyone who's viewing to know a little bit more about you guys and about your ministry, your background. So would love for you just to go ahead and share and let everybody know more about you.
Okay. Well, David is actually Singaporean, and I was born in India, raised here in Texas, where we live right now. Okay. And we were launched into ministry at a very young age, and then God brought us together, and we were able to go to the field and into the nations of the world together as a couple. Our ministry is focused in Southeast Asia. We labor in Cambodia, Indonesia, Vietnam, that region. In three ways. One is leadership training for pastors and leaders and community strengthening. Number two is doing outreaches in communities. And number three is providing safe houses for little children coming out of abuse and trafficking in those regions. Yeah.
Wow, that's awesome. Thank you. That's great. So that's awesome. And I, of course, Lynn and I know you guys. We met you in Texas, and we just loved connecting with you. We've had coffee together and had some great discussions about the things of the Lord. And for us to hear that you guys are involved in ministry in Southeast Asia, that was the clincher, you know, that was the icing on the cake because of our heart and our involvement in ministry also in Southeast Asia. So great to have you guys on. And as I mentioned, our viewing audience tonight is people from obviously all over the world. So I'm just going to ask our viewers just to go ahead, guys, and type in the chat box and let us know where you're watching from. And then it, also, would you mind going ahead and just feel free to share this video? Just click the share button so other people can watch it as well. Thank you, guys. Wow, lots of comments already. That's awesome. Good to see so many people. I know quite a few of you guys. And anyone else watching, just drop a your location in the chat box and we know where you're watching from. We really appreciate that. Awesome. So, David and Lenny, you know, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians that we are not to be ignorant of Satan's devices or his schemes. And right now we're living in a time which is really unprecedented for most of us. And they call it a pandemic. It's a plague, whatever you want to, but it's just basically frozen and shut down. I think it's over 180 countries now. And I just think whenever you look at something and it has a negative effect in the sense that, you know, for example, we can't do missions right now. We can't preach the gospel. Well, if we didn't have a digital platform like we're on right now, we wouldn't be doing any ministry, really, if we didn't have, you know, mobile phones or any of these things. It's modern technology. We would just be here with our families and maybe a few close friends. So thank God for that. But ultimately, I believe the Lord does want his people to gather. You know, in the New Testament, they gathered. And he wants us to go to the nations. So I really, even though I believe there's a purpose in the pause and God is still using this to even help prepare his people, ultimately, I think the roots of this, the spiritual origins of this is really demonic. It's evil. Mm-hmm. And I know, David, you had shared previously about a dream you had about the spiritual origins of this particular plague, this COVID-19, and what the Lord had spoken to you about that. Would you go ahead and share that tonight? We'd love to hear that story.
Yeah, sure. Let me just start off with the original desire and purpose of the Lord when he created mankind. He said, be fruitful, multiply, and subdue the birds of the air, the fish, the animals, and everything that moves. So knowing that that's the mandate originally given by the Lord, we can move forward with a measure of confidence that that's the route that God wants us to move in. Well, a number of weeks ago, maybe a month or maybe 2 months or more ago, we were having a time of prayer. And every 2 weeks, we have a time of intercession. We really believe in that. So as we were interceding and we were praying about this COVID-19 situation, I saw like a dark vapor, like kind of a gas, kind of a vapor, and it was being released upon the earth. It was dark. So I knew that, you know, whatever is happening originates not from the Lord, because the thief comes to kill, steal, destroy. But Jesus said, I have come to give life and life more abundantly. Now, we need to hold on to that word. Now, so as all these things were going on, we were scheduled to make a six-nation trip. And we were supposed to cover two new countries, and everything got canceled and put on hold. And thank God we did not move as we had originally intended. Now, I think it was just a few days later, I had a dream. And in the dream, I was in a house, and I heard loud gunshots. And the gunshots were coming from shotguns. If you know what shotguns are, you know, when you use a shotgun, you fire rounds. I mean, like ball bearings, all right? So I went outside to see what was happening. It was a very loud blast, very loud blast. I saw some people with shotguns, and they were shooting. And it was so loud, but from the shotgun came seeds. And these were the seeds of the word of God. And all around me, I saw dead birds. And there were dead birds all, you know, all over the ground. And then I saw the birds, the dead birds were surrounding even the houses that were in the neighborhood. So there was a girl in the house. So I asked that girl, now, what is the meaning of this? Why are there dead birds all around the house?
Okay.
And this is what she said. The dead birds are the responsibility of each person in the neighborhood. So this is the interpretation. You see, in the midst of all that's happening in the air, the power of God's word is so violent, is so destructive. When we release the word of God, just like what Glenn mentioned earlier, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. It is so destructive in nature when we begin to exercise the authority God gives us. That's why Jesus said, I've given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions. So this is a time and a season where we need to declare what the word of the Lord says. All right? And the destruction on the these things in the air were just so massive. So when the little girl told me that the dead birds around each house of the house was the responsibility of each household, then it dawned on me that each one of us, we have authority and power to mark our boundaries. You need to take authority and mark your boundaries over yourself, over your household, over your church, over your organization, over your businesses. Because no weapon formed against God's people will prosper.
Amen.
That's what I saw in the dream.
Wow. Yeah, that's amazing. You know, when you're talking about that, I'm thinking of the truth. Like I was thinking, we just recently went through Passover. And Passover, of course, was a time where the children of Israel had to mark their dwellings with the blood of the Lamb. And then ultimately, of course, we know that the angel of death, it actually says in Exodus 12, passed over them. And so what do you guys think about this right now? Is this something similar that's happening?
Yes, you know, we've heard it a number of times now that this is a time and a season where God is highly exalting the blood of Jesus.
Yeah.
The resurrection power of Jesus is being highly exalted when we exalt the blood of the Lamb, because nothing can save us. Nothing can save us from the destroyer except the blood of Jesus. Now, this is a time and a season for every man and woman to look to the one who was pierced.
Right.
Because the blood that has been released from his body is more than sufficient. Remember, he's called Yeshua. And Jesus came to save us from sin, sickness, destruction, the devil, and anything can name in heaven and on earth. So it is very important that we understand this is a season God is telling the earth, take note, pay attention, remember what happened thousands of years ago when the people were destroyed because of a lack of knowledge. All they needed to do was apply the blood on the doorpost and the destroyer would pass.
Right.
But because there were those who lacked knowledge, the enemy was able to come in and cause havoc.
Yeah, that's good. And, you know, I was thinking about how it says in 1 Corinthians 5, I believe it's verse 7, it says that Jesus is our Passover.
Right.
And, of course, Yeshua, Jesus, has become our Passover lamb. And we don't physically shed lambs anymore because he was the Lamb of God that took away the sin of the world for everyone who believes in him. But, you know, I was thinking of that place of submission and surrender to God. I was thinking in James chapter 4, it actually speaks of, it says, submit yourself to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I think there are many people today, meaning people that profess to be Christians, that are trying to resist the enemy. They're in a spiritual battle. But that first part about being fully submitted to God, is something that may not be true in their lives. And I know that you had mentioned to me about that place of being really submitted and surrendered to God, and the Lord had spoken to you about that as well. Would you share that with our viewers tonight?
Sure. Around 3 weeks ago, I was waiting on the Lord, and I was reading from Psalms chapter 29, verse 10. And in that scripture, it says that the Lord is enthroned over the flood. The Lord sits enthroned as king over the flood. Now, and at the time, I saw, like in my spirit, I saw like almost like a vision of an ark. It was like Noah's ark. And the ark was floating over the waters that had destroyed everything else. You see, we have an ark of safety that floats over every spirit of destruction. Mm. So, and then I saw like the waters recede, and the ark, you know, was also receding together with the waters. But, you know, usually an ark or a ship will rest on flat plain, right? But this ark rested on the mountain, because in the Bible it says that Noah's ark rested on a mountain.
Right.
So I believe there's a receding taking place right now. There is a receding of this flood called COVID-19, because it's a flood that has swarmed the entire earth, just like Noah's, just like during Noah's time. But when we are in the ark, and this is the ark I want to talk to you a little bit more about, you know, when this flood of COVID-19 recedes, we will rest on the mountain. Okay. And from the mountain, we will have an advantage. We will continue to be secure and save and be able to see before even these things come again. So I believe God is going to give us sharper insights, sharper ability to see, an ability to see even into the future through all these challenges. And the ark is very interesting, because I believe the ark today talks about the ark of the covenant. It is the ark of Jesus himself. Yeshua is today our ark. And there is a great invitation going on. And, you know, during Noah's time, Noah was warning the people, hey, come on into the ark.
Right.
It's going to rain. But they all laughed and mocked. And today the Lord is saying, I'm opening the ark of my love, of my safety and protection. It is found in no other name but the name of Yeshua, of Jesus. So I believe this is addressed to two groups of people. In fact, the third group, I would say, are those, like what Glenn was saying, the people who know the Lord. Because Jesus said, in the last days, many will come and say, Lord, I did this in your name, I did that in your name. But what did the Lord answer? I never knew you. All right. So there is a call going out into the world. And I pray that you and I will be instruments to release that call of the Lord. And the call goes to two kinds of people. Number one, those who have not crowned Jesus or received Jesus as the Lord. And number two would be Christians who call themselves Christians, but they may be Christians because their parents are Christians, or because it's a form of a tradition or a culture. To you, God is telling you, get to know my son Jesus. Today is the day for you to open the door of your heart, because Yeshua, Jesus, is standing at the door of your heart and he's knocking. And Jesus said, if anyone hears my voice and opens the door of his heart, I will come in and have fellowship with him. So I believe that when Jesus said, I never knew you, what he meant was this: they were not the sheep of Jesus, because the sheep of Jesus know the voice of Jesus. They hear the voice of Jesus. So this is a season of great invitation. Come and hear me. Come and know me. So that even if you are a Christian, it's time to ask yourself, do you really know Jesus? When was the last time you heard the voice of Jesus? When? I believe when we hear the voice of Jesus and when we have the communion with him, our lamps will be filled with the anointing oil of Jesus. And when we are filled with the anointing oil of Jesus, when the trumpet sounds, there were 10 virgins, the ones who knew Jesus, because they were filled with the oil of Jesus, their lamps were ready to be lit, and they were able to go in. So I would say this is a time, a great time, an awesome time, when the world needs to hear that there is an ark of safety, and that ark of safety is none other than Jesus himself.
That's awesome. You know, I was thinking about Elijah recently. I've been studying about his day, because they were very dark days. And, you know, there was a lot of false prophecy. But when the word of the Lord came to Elijah the first time about there'll be no more rain, there'll be no more dew, except at the word that he would release again. And then for the 3.5 years, they were in this famine. It was a very difficult time. Then finally, at the end of that 3.5 years, the Bible says that the word of the Lord came to Elijah again. And then, of course, he went and he spoke that word to Israel and then to Ahab. But the point I'm trying to make is there has to be a place where we hear what God is saying if we're going to know what to do. And, you know, as it says about the sons of Issachar, they had understanding of the times that they lived in, and they knew what to do to help Israel. That's a paraphrase, but that's essentially what it says. And I really believe that today God is wanting his people to attune their ear, so to speak, yes, to tune their ear to hear from him. And, you know, we looked at earlier Acts chapter 2, where it talks about those who are filled with the Spirit will have dreams, they'll have visions, they'll hear from the Lord, essentially, and they'll prophesy. Prophesy basically is just speaking forth what God is saying and revealing. And so I love that, what you're saying. And we are in a season where the Lord is definitely drawing his people closer to him and to a place of really knowing him, and even looking at our hearts. Do we really know the Lord? Do we know him personally and intimately? And a lot of times people have been, you know, duped in a sense that just because they go to church or even read the Bible, some people, but they've not had this personal, intimate relationship where they hear from the Lord. And it seems to me that the Holy Spirit is drawing his people back to that place, which is really normal New Testament Christianity, where we hear his voice. And I love that, and I'm definitely wanting to know that. But I know that the scripture says in Psalm 46 about be still and know that I'm God. And one translation says cease striving and know that he's God. And what would you say to people right now that maybe they're discouraged, they feel confused, and they don't know what to do? Yes. What would your advice be to those people?
Right. So as I was waiting on the Lord, and the Lord was just speaking to me, he told me this: memorize Psalms chapter 34. Because the greatest weapon in the arsenal of the enemy is fear. Because fear paralyzes us. Right? So there is a need to be delivered from the spirit of fear. Yeah. And there's a need to enter into the economy of the Lord, because there are two economies that are working side by side: the economy of the world and the economy of the Lord. The economy of the Lord is self-sustaining. It has a life of its own. It does not go up and down. That's why Paul said, my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory. So in Psalms 34, it says, I sought the Lord and he answered me and delivered me from all my fears. All right. Now, we don't overcome fear by just reading the Bible or by confessing. Now, we need deliverance from fear.
Okay.
So it says, I sought the Lord. So if you are struggling with fear, discouragement, depression, or any of those sorts of things, those are not from the Lord. The Lord wants to set you free today. And the key is this: I sought the Lord. Now, how do we seek the Lord? We seek the Lord by crying out, Abba.
Okay.
When we cry out, Abba, we are coming to a place where we move out of our spirit of fear and enter into the understanding that we are sons and daughters. All right? And as sons and daughters, as we cry out to Him, He will take away the fear and He will put within us perfect love.
Right.
Because Abba Father is perfect love. And what does perfect love do? Perfect love casts out all fear.
Right. Yeah.
So this is a season, I believe, of great freedom. But the freedom is for those who know the Lord. That's why the Lord spoke to me clearly from Daniel, from the book of Daniel. Those who know the Lord will be strong and they will do great exploits.
Yeah.
So this is the season, I believe. It's not by might nor by power, but the Spirit of the Lord Himself will come and empower you,
yeah,
and raise you and move you above the flood.
Yeah.
To do the things that He has called you to do.
Yeah. Amen. Yeah, that's awesome. And I really love that scripture again in Daniel. Those who know their God will be strong and they will do great exploits. And that's, for me, that's one of my three pillars, I call them. You know, the first pillar is knowing God, which is communion, fellowship, intimacy with God. And then those who know their God will be strong. They'll know who they are in the Lord. They'll be firm and established. They'll know their identity. And then they will do great exploits. You know, they'll minister in a place of authority and power and effectiveness. And the Bible says the righteous are as bold as a lion. And yeah, sometimes we all have different personalities. Mm-hmm. I understand that. And some people may be more timid. And Timothy was like that. Mm-hmm. And Paul had to remind him that God has not given you that spirit of fear or timidity, but He's given you a spirit of love, power, and a sound mind. And I really love that. But one of the things that you said, David, which is so critical today, because you know how Jesus said that to the Pharisees, He said, you make the word of God of none effect by your traditions. You know, can you imagine they believed they had certain, yeah, religious beliefs, mm-hmm, that actually canceled out or negated the power of God's word. And I think that's still true today. We have, yeah, these different traditions and religious beliefs that are man-made. They're not scriptural. They're not the word of God. And one of the things that you touched on right away, which is so important, is you said, let's go back to Genesis chapter 1. And you referred to how God had given Adam and Eve, the man and the woman, authority. And, you know, He'd given them power, dominion, really, mm-hmm, to exercise dominion. And you referred to Luke 10, where He said, we have authority, we have power over Satan, scorpions, serpents, is the metaphor Jesus used, and nothing shall harm you. And I was thinking about Psalm 115, verse 16 says, the heavens, even the heavens are the Lord's, but the earth He's given to the sons of men or the children of men. So the earth has been given to us. And our job, like Adam and Eve, was to exercise dominion, subdue the earth, you know. Mm-hmm. But Jesus extended that in a sense that, because obviously there was no sickness and disease before they disobeyed the Lord, then Jesus told us that He'd given us authority and power over every kind of sickness, every kind of disease, over demonic spirits as well. And a lot of Christians believe that, you know, we just need to pray to God and ask God to take care of this situation. But in the Bible, you know, in Jesus' life, we see kind of a different response, don't we?
Yeah.
So what can we do as true followers of the Lord? You know, let's say we go through this phase where we're searching our heart and we're surrendering to the Lord, we're repenting and we're pressing into God, surrendering ourselves, seeking the Lord. And, you know, we are learning how to walk in that place of intimacy with God. But what can we do in terms of exercising authority to see things change around us, you know, and not just with us personally or our families, even helping other people. What are some things that we should be doing, can be doing?
Yeah, I think first of all, we have to maintain a strong communion with the Lord, because when we maintain a strong communion with the Lord gives us wisdom. All right. Now, it is very interesting, Pastor Glenn. Yeah, you mentioned about hearing the voice of the Lord. If we read the book of Revelations, especially to all the seven churches, Jesus ended by saying, "He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying." Yeah. So this is a time when the third person of the Godhead needs to come forth strong, because the Spirit of the Lord wants to be released through our lives in a way that we have never imagined before. So I would encourage every one of us to come into a place of quietness with the Lord. We can go into God's presence with all our questions, with all our doubts, with all our fears, and with all our challenges. But I guarantee you, when we come boldly into the throne of grace, where we can receive mercy and grace in our time of need, we will come out of it changed. We will come out of it with a solution, with a way out. And I tell you, the word of the Lord will come to pass in your life that you and I are truly more than conquerors through Jesus Christ.
Amen. Yeah, that's awesome. So, Linny, let's hear from you. What's the Lord been saying to you? I know, obviously, whatever it is, it's I'm sure, on the same vein of what he's been speaking to David, but we'd just love to have you share a little bit as well tonight.
Thank you. Well, definitely about taking dominion, understanding the authority that we have in our sphere that God has given us, that the responsibility is on us, and we can command things to move, and they do move. Hmm. And that's what we've been doing personally. But during this time of pause in our lives, you know, we have not been able to travel. We normally go to Asia once a month, or once every 2 months. David and I take turns. But this time has been beautiful in the sense that we've just had this opportunity to just be quiet and wait on him and just let him continue to download the pattern of heaven and what he wants for us moving forward. And I'll tell you, there have been just such ideas and insights and creative knowledge just coming from God into our hearts, and God just bringing people and connections and to make all this that he's downloading happen. So it's been an amazing time. I think rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice that even in this, that it's not going as we want, but God is moving anyway, and God is doing something new and fresh in our lives. And we just rejoice in this time.
Yeah. Can I just add something? You see, I believe God is going to pour out a new wine. Mm-hmm. But before he can pour out a new wine, you know, he can't pour out new wine into old wineskins.
Right.
Wineskins have to be stretched or revived or renewed. So I believe that's why this is a time, an important time for every single person. Instead of fretting and worrying day and night, this is a time to wait on the Lord and receive a fresh new download, so that when he is about to release the new wine, the new anointing upon the earth, our wineskins are ready to receive it.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's so important. And again, just going back to Daniel, again, I think it's chapter 11, where he says, those who know their God will be strong, do great exploits. And knowing God, the importance of knowing God in this season, it's critical. We must know the Lord. Mm-hmm. I heard today on the news, they were saying here in Canada that the amount of women that are with their children that are fleeing their home because of domestic abuse has skyrocketed since COVID-19 and people have been in lockdown. And, you know, this season brings out the best and the worst in us. Mm-hmm. And when we're under pressure, you know, it's kind of like a sponge. You squeeze a sponge and that pressure releases what's really inside. And I think we're in a time where God is even, to the very best of us, the most dedicated, consecrated follower of God, there's even a sense in which he's really causing us to search our hearts and to maybe deal with some things that have been maybe hidden and unaddressed in our lives, our relationships, our marriages, and, you know, our relationship with our kids. I read the other day, it was a post, it was funny, but it actually says this. So a child in Spain said, "The only problem with isolation is you see the same people all the time." And it's true, you know, we're in this place. And so for some people, it's causing them to fall apart. And for other people, they're getting stronger, especially in it. But it is those who know their Lord. How we respond in this season? Are we going to press on to know the Lord? Or are we going to just try to ride out the storm and really not change? And I really believe it's critical that we look at ourselves as individually, and we you know, respond to what the Holy Spirit's trying to do to prepare us in the church corporately. And I love what you said earlier about Noah's Ark. When it finally came to rest, it was on top of a mountain. And after this whole flood, so to speak, is over, that we want to be rested on top of the mountain of God, right? Mm-hmm. And I love that. That was such a great word and a powerful analogy. And of course, it was so powerful because the Lord gave it to you. So I love that. But you know, there are people that are still struggling and they're not getting the breakthrough that they want. Let's talk about the Holy Spirit for a moment. Recently, I've been ministering on the role of the Holy Spirit. What does it mean to be filled with the Spirit or baptized with the Spirit? Can you share that with people? And how do we, you know, experience that and not just like a one-time thing, but even fresh fillings of the Holy Spirit?
I believe that when a person receives Jesus, the Spirit of God is with them, but the Lord wants to take us deeper into Him. I remember when I first received the Lord, I mean, Jesus was in my heart, but my Christian life was like a yo-yo, going up and down, until one day I heard about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I began to so thirst for the baptism of the Holy Spirit because I heard that the Holy Spirit is available to empower us. So I remember going after this, and actually I got such a massive baptism. You know, it's like the Lord took a bucket of Holy Spirit water and just poured it all over me from head to feet. My life never was the same.
Okay. After that.
It was a huge leap forward. This is the reason why Jesus said, don't leave Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. So I would encourage every missionary, every worker, every church member, every man or woman or boy or girl to understand that the third person of the Godhead has already been released upon the earth. You know, there are, I believe, three major dispensations. The first was the dispensation of the Father, then the dispensation of the Son. Now you have the dispensation of the Holy Spirit, and the Spirit of the Lord has been released to basically be like Jesus, because Jesus told the disciples, you know, I'm going away, but no problem, guys. The Comforter, when he comes, I will not leave you like an orphan struggling, all right? But he's going to teach you all things. So I believe that and this is the time, if you have not been baptized in the Holy Spirit, start thirsting for the Holy Spirit. Because Jesus said, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me, and he will, out of his innermost being, will flow rivers of living water. Then I would encourage you to really learn to worship the Lord. Worshiping, actually, there are so many dimensions of worship. You know, it is not a stereotype of understanding. But I tell you, when we go into the presence of the Lord, what did the Father say? A time is coming when the true worshipers will worship me, number one, spirit.
Right.
And number two is truth. Those are the worshipers God the Father seeks. So this is not a stereotype of worship we are talking about. It is coming into the presence of the Lord. And you know what you do first? You want to release everything to the Lord. And, and when you release everything to the Lord, you say, Lord, my highest priority today is not ministry, it's not work, it's not money, it's not this, but it is to enjoy the Father, to have fun with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So this is where I believe, the Holy Spirit will give us creative ideas on how to worship Him. Sometimes it's just by being still before Him. There are other times when He will tell you this, start asking. And when He says start asking, get your notebook ready. Start asking and start writing the answers. So I would say this. This is a time and a season when God wants us to learn to worship Him creatively. Mm. You know, there are various ways, you know, worship Him in a psalm, in a song, in a hymn, or just waiting on the Lord, or just, you know, sitting before Him. Just tuning our ears to hear how He wants us to worship Him. And I believe when we do that, we will hear clearly the directions of the Lord. Mm-hmm. And we will understand the pattern of the Lord for your life. Because that's the prayer of Jesus, right? That we need to pray, your kingdom come, your will be done today, even as it is being done in heaven. So I hope I answered.
Absolutely. You actually touched on some amazing things here. You know, when we talk about the Holy Spirit and we look at what Jesus said and about the Holy Spirit in John's gospel and so on, and He talked about how he'll convict the sin, the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. But He said for the believer, He's going to comfort us. He's going to help us. And I love the fact that He even mentioned that the Holy Spirit will guide us into all truth. You know, He'll declare and show us things that Jesus said. And, you know, He's the Spirit of wisdom and revelation elsewhere. And so in this time in which we're living, God wants us to have such a close walk with the Holy Spirit so that we can move into that place where we actually have that type of revelation, that wisdom, you know, and there are people that it talks about in the Old Testament when they built the tabernacle in Moses' day, you know, how there were these skilled craftsmen and it was the Spirit of the Lord that came upon that and gave them the ability to be able to be skilled that way. And that's today with music. It could be with, you know, anything really, business, but getting revelation. And I know, and maybe we can just go into this for a moment as well. And I heard your testimony previously about in 2008, when the global crisis came, the recession, that you guys actually, during that time, you prospered.
Yes.
And I was reading today in Genesis 26, that during that time of famine, and then, of course, Isaac made a strategic move, and he went to a place called Gerar. And then while he was there, he sowed, and he reaped a hundredfold. So what role does the Spirit of God have in all of this as well? You know, we're talking about the Holy Spirit, and I want to pray for people to be filled with the Holy Spirit tonight. Mm-hmm. But what role does the Holy Spirit have? Like, even in these very practical things, like helping us financially, you already said the promise of the Lord in Philippians 4:19, and He will provide all our need, not according to our paycheck or our investments or the economy of this world, but according to His riches and glory. So love to hear that testimony and how the Holy Spirit has led you through this time.
Yeah. And you're referring to the 2008.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Now, we were in the red.
Right.
Our ministry was in the red at the time, and we should have gone deeper into the red, since that was a year when the dot-com bubble had burst, and the mortgage housing market collapsed, and the economies around the world were crashing. But that was a year when the Lord, He just pushed us into the black by 3, 4, 5 times, all right, what we needed. So, and the Lord gave me a dream. And I pray that this will encourage you. And in this dream, you know, as we mentioned earlier, I'm from Singapore. And, you know, in Singapore, there are no mountains, no lakes, some few hills here and there. And it's very, very built up.
Yeah.
So I was, Pastor Glenn, do I have time for this? Or?
Yes, you have. Take your time. Go for it.
So in this dream, I was in Singapore. And I was in a mall. And next to the mall, hidden to the natural eye, was a beautiful lake. Remember what I mentioned, all right? In Singapore, there are no lakes, zero. But this was a beautiful, deep lake. And surrounding that lake were mountains. And I took note of this location because I wanted to access this beautiful lake. So this was what the Lord was saying. There are two economies that function side by side. It's important for us to know. One is the economy of the world, and one is the economy of the Lord.
Right.
The economy of the world goes up and down, up and down, up and down, up and down. But the economy of the Lord is strong, stable, self-sufficient, self-sustaining. Just give you an example. You know, when Jesus needed to feed the 20,000 people or more, 5 loaves, 2 fishes, that was all that was needed, right? The lake was deep, was beautiful, and I could see in the distance of the lake, in the far reaches of the lake, I could see fish, probably large fish. But it required a measure of risk or so to go catch the fish because it was in deeper waters. Okay, so this is what we need to understand. That the Spirit of the Lord has been given to us, not just for power, not just for the gifts of the Spirit and so on, but the Lord has given us the Spirit of the Lord for the Spirit of creativity.
Okay.
So there is that anointing of creativity over your lives. So in a time when the economy of the world is going up and down,
yeah.
All right, we need to know what we need to do.
Yes.
Sometimes the Lord may want you to sow. So you ask the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, I want to sow only according to what you want me to sow. All right? Then you sow in faith. Or the Lord may give you a business idea, a creative idea, but it requires you to launch into the deep. Whatever it is, the Spirit of creativity is over your life because God is going to sustain you in his economy. Then I saw silvery gold colored fish by the shore. It was easy for the picking. You could just go and just grab it. It was beautiful fish. So this is the interpretation. This is an invitation for us to enter into the economy of the Lord. And the economy of the Lord is very simple in its definition. Jesus said, in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, seek ye first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Then he said this, the people of the other economy,
right,
they run after all these things, but not you.
Yes.
You know what? This is a season of priority setting. Okay. You set your priority. Number one, his kingdom. What is his kingdom? His kingdom is, again, like what we mentioned earlier, it's a relationship with Yeshua, the Father, and the Holy Spirit. I believe we need to know the Father, we need to know the Son, we need to know the Holy Spirit. Very critical. You'll be amazed how amazing it is to walk with the triune God. Yeah. Now, so when we seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, what do we mean by righteousness? That is the righteousness that comes by faith. That's the good news. It's not a righteousness that we work and struggle for.
Right.
But in Romans 5, verse 17 says, through the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness, you shall reign in life. You shall reign over every crisis in life. That's a revelation in itself. So then, you know, around the lake were these beautiful mountains, strong. You know mountains. Canada is full of beautiful, amazing mountains. See, the Bible says those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion. The mountains represent the faithfulness of the Lord. This is a time and a season where the Lord wants us to test his faithfulness. You see, the scripture says that your faithfulness is as high as the mountains. All right? So God is wanting to show himself as a faithful God. And he can only show himself as a faithful God in a time of crisis, usually. Right? And then we access his economy. And today, you have the keys to access the economy of the Lord.
Wow.
Access, the key is the name of Jesus. And the second key is this. As you seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, we will enjoy an economy that is sustained by God himself. Remember, when finally God comes down, the city of Jerusalem comes down to the earth, the scripture says there is no need for sun, no need for moon, nothing, because the Lord himself is the brightness. He sustains everything. So I believe, in the economy of the Lord himself will bring glory to his name, because he will sustain everything by the power of his word. And no man will glory in their flesh or in their ability that I did this, I did that. But all glory goes to the Lord himself.
Wow. That's amazing. Yeah, that's true. And I was thinking about, several years ago, we went through a season, Lynn and I, where we had been pastoring a church and our ministry was doing very well. I mean, we had lots of money coming in for the ministry. The Lord was blessing. Doors were opening. But we were still kind of... there was a lot more we knew the Lord wanted to do. So we had a sense of restlessness. And so we began to pray and seek the Lord. And we felt like the Lord wanted us to walk away from the ministry that we were involved with. And so we started that process of pulling away. And during that time, everything fell apart in the natural. And it was back actually in 2008 when the crisis. So we were launching at that time. We didn't know we were, but the Lord launched us into full-time itinerant ministry at the same time the economy started collapsing. And so there were times when, we went from having lots of money and basically being able to go on vacation anytime we wanted. And we went to like times when we had $20 to our name or less. We always had food, but it was a difficult time. And I was praying and I asked the Lord, I said, what are you trying to do here, Lord? Because I want to launch out to the nations. I believe you've called me and I want to do so much more. And the Lord led me to 2 Corinthians 1:9, and it says, we have the sentence of death in ourselves. Mm-hmm. We might not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead. And he was showing me basically, look, everything I've told you, every prophetic word about your destiny and your calling and impacting people is true. But this is a season where it wasn't just because of what was happening in the world, the economy of the world, but it was a season where God said, I'm going to prepare you for the next season. And one of the scriptures that has been very dear to our hearts is Proverbs 20:21. In the NIV, it says, an inheritance claimed too soon will not be blessed at the end. Wow. The NLT says, an inheritance obtained too early in life is not a blessing in the end. And, when you look at this and you read all the different ways it's translated, the bottom line is, how it is when you're not responsible. You give a young person a lot of money when they're really young and they're not responsible and they end up squandering that money and wasting it. And then later on, they look back and they regret that they wasted, those resources. They didn't invest it. Now they have nothing. And so the Lord was just saying to me, I'm not going to give you everything because I need to prepare you. You need to grow more. You know, your capacity needs to expand so I can work in you. And I feel that we are living in a time right now where God wants to definitely prosper his people. In fact, next Wednesday night, my guest, Kevin Forlong from Australia, is going to be talking about what the Lord spoke to him about the church coming into its finest hour, prospering, having all the resources we need to go do missions and do all this stuff, but how this is a time to basically, you know, deal with the things in our life that we need to. So I just thought, as we close out this time, and you've been talking on so many powerful truths that you've been revealing, I thought we could pray for people and just pray for people to be, you know, moved into that place of being filled with the Spirit, pray for people to, you know, be in a place of surrender, to know who they are in the Lord, to step out, exercise their authority, and also for people to prosper in this season. You know, I'm not saying we're just praying for people to have lots of money. What I mean is that people that will be blessed by the Lord in whatever way he wants to bless them. If it's money and abundance, that's fine. But we don't want to miss out on what God wants to do. Yeah. We know he is a God of abundance and that there's nothing he cannot do. And every miracle Jesus did when he multiplied the fish and the loaves, he didn't just have enough. There was always excess. Mm-hmm. So would you guys, I'm going to ask you, Lenny, would you just lead in a time of prayer and then David as well? Mm-hmm. And let's just pray for people. And I want to just encourage you guys. Let's go into a place right now where we just, in the privacy of your home, wherever you are, we're just going to pray and we're just going to allow the Lord to do a deep work in our hearts and prepare us and for what he wants to do in this next season as Lenny leads us in prayer. Can we go ahead and do that right now?
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Yes. Father, Abba, Father, we just thank you that right now all across the world, we collectively just come and we enter the throne room together, Father, and we just cry, Abba, Father. Holy Spirit, we thank you for directing our prayers according to the very heart of God today. Thank you, Jesus, for giving us access by your blood. Thank you for the blood that washes, that redeems, that says, that calls us righteous, calls us forgiven before the throne. We thank you for so great a salvation. And we thank you, God, that what the enemy meant for evil, Lord, you are using for good. That even in this time of pause and shelter in, Father, that we are sheltered in the shadow of the Almighty. And we are resting in the secret place of the Most High together as a church. And we thank you that we will emerge from this cocoon, Father, to fly once again, Lord. We thank you, God, for showing forth your glory. And right now we pray for those, Father, that are being afflicted or tormented by the enemy in any way with fear of COVID-19, fear of death, fear of the financial repercussions. In the name of Jesus, we speak peace to spirits right now in the name of Jesus, that minds would be at rest in Jesus' name. We cancel every lie, every spirit of fear that is at work and speaking lies. We rebuke you. Amen. In the name of Jesus of Nazareth. And we declare, Father, that each one of these, our brothers, our sisters, will not die, but they will live and they will see the glory of God in Jesus' name. Father, we declare victory, Father, financial breakthroughs, Father, miracles, Father, that, Lord, those that are just so in the time of famine, they would step out into the deep waters and do so, Father. Lord, those that are supposed to begin businesses or different ventures, that they would have the courage and the fortitude and the assurance of the Spirit and go forth, Father, and conquer in the name of Jesus. We pray for families, Father, especially those that are in any sort of tumultuous household right now. We pray, God, for protection.
Yes.
Command every spirit of division and strife, backbiting, to stop in Jesus' name. And we ask for the peace of God, the protection of the blood of Jesus. Father, we're asking that at this time, prodigals would come home, Father, that people would see their spouses saved, their children brought into the kingdom, that this would be a time of miracles and signs and wonders, Father. So we just agree with heaven today, and we say, Lord, all that is in your heart, let it be done on earth as it is in heaven. We say yes, we say amen, and we decree, Lord, that your will reigns, your will prevails, and we thank you for it in Jesus' name.
Thank you, Jesus. Father, we want to thank you, Father, for the birthright of victory that you have given to every one of us. And we thank you, Father, that we can start each day by raising up the banner which says, Yahweh Nissi, the Lord, my victorious one. And Father, I just pray, Lord, that none of us, Lord, will get weary in lifting up our hands, because the scripture says, as long as Moses' hands were raised up, there was victory in the valley. So Father, we just pray, Lord, that you will begin to open our eyes, open our ears to know the blessing of going into the secret place. Father, of gaining access, Father, into this secret place by the blood of Jesus daily, where we may receive mercy and grace in our time of need. And today, Father, we want to speak to the needs, Father, that are present at this time. Even by the needs of those who are watching this, and those who will watch this later, Father. That, Father, today in Jesus' name, your spirit of grace, your spirit of provision, and Father, above all, Father, your spirit of breakthrough will be released today, Father, in the name of Yeshua, Father. We agree together that you are the breaker, the one who jumps before us and breaks open a way where there's no way. So today, Father, for those of us, Lord, who are facing situations where it seems so impossible, we declare the name of the Lord, that you are the breaker. Today you jump in front of us and you break open the way, and you are Baal Perazim, the Lord, the God of breakthroughs.
Amen. So
we declare, we agree together, and we decree today in the name of Yeshua that you are the God of breakthrough. And Father, you will make a way where there is no way, because you are the one. You are the one who causes the rivers to flow in the desert. So in the name of Jesus, Father, let the river of life begin a new work in our hearts, in our lives, in our minds. And today, Father, in Jesus' name, Father, we declare the spirit of fear be cast out. And Father, it be replaced with the spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. We declare that, Father, in the name of Jesus.
Amen. Yes, amen. And Father, we thank you, Lord, that during this time, you are the God who provides for those who seek first your kingdom and your righteousness, Lord. And we think about those small businesses that are languishing, and, yes, and Lord, even churches that are struggling financially during this time, and ministries, particularly those who are itinerant ministers, Lord, and they rely on the income that comes as a result of them speaking in churches and so on. And we just declare, Father, in Jesus' name, that for those who love you, those who are pure in heart, and those who desire to put the name of Jesus first, that you provide every need they have, Father, that there is nothing that they shall lack in this season. And even as it says in the book of Malachi, that you will make a distinction and you will cause your people to be recognized and approved. And we thank you, Lord, that you are with your people and you're causing your hand of favor to rest upon them, Lord. And we declare in this time that your people will prosper. Your people will flourish, Lord. They will not lack any good thing, and that in their hearts and in their spirits, in their homes and their businesses and their ministries, Lord, they will continue to have everything that you provide for them and what you have for them so that they shall lack nothing, Lord. And we pray that when we come out of this time, Lord, when the ark comes to rest, so to speak, on the mountain of God, that we will come forth, Lord, with fresh fire and zeal, with a determination, Lord, to travel to the nations, to preach the gospel, to reach our cities, Lord, to see each and every believer equipped and released to make a difference in the lives of others with the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, Father, right now, we thank you for the Holy Spirit, the one whom you said we are to have communion with, the one whom Jesus said that he would send as another comforter, who would he would not leave us as orphans. And Lord, we pray right now for people to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Just ask the Lord to fill you right now. Say, Lord, baptize me afresh with the Holy Spirit, or fill me. Even if it's your first time, just say, Lord, fill me right now with the power of the Holy Spirit. Lord, a fresh touch. Just put your hand on your head and just say, Lord, fill me right now. Baptize me right now with the Holy Spirit. Fill me to overflowing, Lord Jesus. Yes. And I declare and I decree in the name of Jesus that I am a child who receives by faith and grace the fullness of the promise of the Father to be filled with the Holy Spirit. We thank you, Lord, for fresh fillings, for fresh baptisms. We thank you, Lord, for a fresh touch and a fresh anointing upon our lives. We give you all the glory. We give you all the honor, Lord. And we just pray for anyone who is sick, anyone who's discouraged or depressed right now. Would you guys go ahead and just pray for people that are struggling that way as well? We'll just take a moment.
Sure. Yeah, I just feel like there's someone struggling with arthritis. In Jesus' name, we pray for that individual right now, Father. We thank you. Thank you that arthritis bows to the name of Jesus. We rebuke every spirit of arthritis. We command every limb, every joint, every tendon, every muscle to be righted right now. Be straight in Jesus' name and function as you were created to function by the Father in Jesus' name. Father, we thank you, Father, that every sickness, every manner of disease is already defeated, is already healed by the stripes of the Lamb of God. And we just receive the healing that flows from heaven, that drips like honey from heaven. We just open our spirits right now and we receive your healing, Father, from head to toe, every part of our bodies. In Jesus' name, we thank you for the release of healing upon your people right now. In Jesus' name.
Thank you, Lord. I feel like we need to take authority of the spirit of oppression. Every oppressive spirit.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus. We take authority, Lord, over every oppressive spirit that's at work. We declare you destroyed in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name, Father, your people will not walk in oppression or under oppression. Today, Father, we declare your breakthrough anointing, Lord. The breakthrough anointing. They be free from oppression because, Lord, the oppressor has already been destroyed utterly at the cross. So today, Father, we declare victory over oppression. In the name of Jesus, we also declare destruction of depression. That Father, in the because you have not given us a spirit of heaviness, Father, but you have given us an oil of joy for a spirit of depression. So Father, in the name of Yeshua, in the name of Jesus, we declare, we rebuke and declare destroyed the spirit of depression. We command you in the name of Jesus that you leave your people in Jesus' name, because we are appointed for the oil of joy. We receive your oil of joy, Lord, today. And today we thank you, Father, that you have not appointed us for defeat, but you have appointed us for victory. So, Father, today in Jesus' name, we release the very victory that raised Christ from the dead and seated him on the right hand of God. We declare that resurrection victory over your people now in Jesus' name. And we declare today that thanks be to God who always leads us in triumphal procession through Jesus Christ in Jesus' name.
Amen. And there's someone, I'm not sure how long this has been going on, but it's been a struggle. Your blood pressure is high. And you're really struggling to keep it down. Sometimes it goes down, but then it goes back up again. And I just say in Jesus' name right now that the Father has declared that you are healed. Mm-hmm. So I speak the word and I say, be healed in Jesus' name. I command that blood pressure to lower. Mm-hmm. And I command it to resume to normality. And I just pray in Jesus' name that you would be healthy and you would be strong in Jesus' name. And also hear the Lord say that there is there's some who are watching this and you're in a season. I see people in ministry in particular, maybe some pastors, and you're in a season where you've been kind of revisiting your ministry. Should I stay where I am? Should I continue doing things the way I've been doing it? And it's not only a season where the Lord wants to give you creative ideas and a fresh perspective and new ways of doing ministry, but for some of you, I feel the Lord is saying that that your promotion and your prosperity is going to come as a result of being repositioned. And I mean, not just repositioned in your walk with God, that's certainly so important, but there's even some change coming for some of you, some geographical shifts that are going to come. You're going to move to other places, other nations, other cities. And during this time, some of you already know because you've been praying about this. You've been saying, Lord, make a way and open the door. And the Lord wants you to know that He's going to open the door. Just keep praying, keep trusting, keep pressing in. And as you wait, not just passively sitting back waiting for the Lord to do it, but as you continue to pray through this whole thing, you're going to find that once the right timing comes, that God is going to open a door for you. And I see, this is what I see in the spirit. I see when someone's trying to push open a door, they're pushing, they're shoving on the door and it won't open. But then all of a sudden they step back and then this door, it just kind of like one of those automatic doors that opens up without any human effort, without, you know, any struggle. I just see like the door opens, swings open by itself, and God is going to open a door for you that you're not going to have to walk through it or try to push it open, is what I'm meaning to say. But God's going to open that door for you. So as you wait on the Lord and as you allow Him to prepare you and to deal with those things in your life that He wants to deal with, and trust Him in this season, even though it's difficult, and you say, I don't know how much longer I can hold on. Things are hard. Things are difficult. The ground is dry and you know, it seems that the resources and the provision is not there. Just trust the Lord. He's going to bring you through this and you're going to come out. And I see you going through like you're in a narrow, restricted place. But when you go through that door, it's going to be wide open and the fields are green. Speaking of life and prosperity and provision. And I just declare in Jesus' name, as you continue to watch and wait on the Lord, you're going to see Him open the door for you. And just trust in Him and seek first His kingdom, as was said tonight, and watch what the Lord's going to do for you. Don't be afraid and don't be fearful. Just keep waiting on the Lord, not waiting for the Lord, but waiting on the Lord. There's a difference. And as you do, you're going to see the Lord is going to make it possible for you to move forward in whatever way He wants. Even some people, your ministry, you've never really seen it take off. God's going to use this time to prepare you, and you're going to see your ministry change. Some of you are going to be like, people are going to look at you and say, what happened to him? He's like a different person. She's like a different person. And God's firing you up and repurposing you in this time. And people are going to see the fresh anointing that's on your life. So praise God. Praise God for that. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We bless your name. We bless your name, Lord. Hallelujah. David, Lenny, anything else you guys want to say, want to share?
Yeah, I think there's also a realignment taking place. So be very open, because that comes to my mind. Realigning, even of resources, are going to be realigned. So this is a season where realignment is taking place.
Mm. Amen. That's awesome. And you know, we also know that sometimes the Lord needs to connect you with the right people. You know, there's realignment of relationships too, and connecting you to people that are going to be able to help you. So I pray for that, Lord. We pray. for those right connections and relationships, Lord, the ones you make, that we don't have to try to make it happen.
Yes.
Thank you, Father. We bless you. We give you glory. Well, awesome. Well, thank you, David and Lenny. You guys, you know, you're really, you're some of our favorites. We love you guys. We appreciate you, all that you're doing, and your heart and your spirit and your desire, your zeal for the Lord. We appreciate that. We need that today. We look forward for having you guys come and visit us in Vancouver in time. Yeah, I was supposed to be coming down to Lynn and I to Dallas for a conference in August, but they've canceled that, of course. So, you know, we were supposed to go to Singapore in July, but that's canceled. So here we are. But God has a purpose in all of it.
That's right.
So thank you guys so much. And before we close out our session tonight, just, you know, once again, can you just reiterate some of the things that you're doing through your ministry, through Global Renewal?
You want to share? Yeah. Well, you know, as we mentioned, you know, we are active in Vietnam, Cambodia, Indonesia, and also in Japan, majoring a lot in leadership training, because we believe that the future of any nation lies in the leadership. So together with this, we are also working on various kinds of educational projects. We sponsor children. We are working on ESL programs, English programs, and God willing, even a tech school. God willing, you know, we are working on that as well. And also, we believe the Lord in reaching out to the communities. So we believe that communities are being reached when disciples are being made in the churches. So pray along with us that every church that we work with, you know, will ultimately raise up disciples to impact the nation. And finally, you know, we believe this is a season for search and rescue, and for the rescue of especially orphans and those who are trapped in trafficking. So we focus on rescuing little girls from trafficking, high risk or abuse situations. So we have safe houses in both Cambodia and Indonesia. We are in the process of starting a new safe house for girls in Vietnam. And we are also trusting the Lord to open a safe house for boys. That's something very new for us in Cambodia, because the need is so critical. So these are some of the things that we are believing the Lord for. And just pray along with us as we continue to establish what God wants established in these nations, and also in the nations of Thailand, Myanmar, and India, God willing, this year.
Yeah, that's awesome. Wow, thank you. Yeah, you know, of course, that's our heart as well. We love to see that happening. So, guys, if you want to learn more about David and Lenny Chacko, you can go visit their website, globalrenewal.org. You can also sow a financial gift to their ministry as well. That would be a great thing to do. They've been a blessing to us tonight, and what they're doing is so worth our support, and we look forward to partnering with you guys in different ways as well, and seeing what you're doing, your vision come to pass, because that's really the heart of God, you know, and making disciples, helping those who are struggling, children, and you mentioned that, and so on. You know, that's the heart of God right there. And what an amazing ministry. Thank you so much, guys. So thank you for tuning in tonight, everyone. We bless you, and we thank you for being part of the program. Our guests have been David and Lenny Chacko. They live in the Dallas-Fort Worth area now, Global Renewal Ministries. And they have been just an amazing blessing to us tonight. My name is Glenn Blakeney, and my wife Lynn and I, we are the senior pastors of Harvest City Church in Vancouver. And we know many of our the people from Harvest City are online. Some of you guys watching in other places. If you've not let us know where you're viewing from, We don't know you in particular. Would you please just drop that information in the comment box? Just say, hey, I'm watching from such and such a place in the world. And would you also consider sharing this broadcast as well? We really appreciate that. Hey, tomorrow night, same time, 7 p.m. Pacific time, I am going to be interviewing a great man of God, Larry Titus, who is the founder of Kingdom Global Ministries. He's an apostolic leader. He's been in ministry for more than 50 years. He's had an impact around the globe. We're going to be discussing the topic of ministering from an apostolic paradigm. What does it mean to be an apostolic church, an apostolic people, an apostolic center, and what are the practical steps we can take to shift into being apostolic? So that's tomorrow night. It's going to be on YouTube as well as on my Facebook page. So you can just go to my timeline or on my Facebook page, Glenn Blakeney. So it's just at Glenn Blakeney, and you will see the link how to either watch live on Facebook or on YouTube. Tomorrow night, Thursday, April 30th, 7 p.m. Pacific time with Larry Titus. You're not going to want to miss this interview. Wow, we just got some great people that the Lord is connecting us with, and it was such an encouraging time tonight. Please let us know, like, have these meetings been encouraging you? Was this interview with David and Lenny Chockel tonight uplifting, encouraging to you? Then please just drop your comments and let us know. You know, give us even a thumbs up. All right. So thank you guys so much for watching and being part of this tonight. We bless you and we give you glory in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Thanks for tuning in. See you tomorrow night. See you Sunday, 10:30 a.m., harvestcitychurch.com for our Sunday service. And then next Wednesday, Pastor Kevin Forlong will be our guest here on Facebook, Harvest City, at Harvest City Van, V-A-N, and also on YouTube. Thanks again. Have a great night, great morning, great day, wherever you are in the world. Bless you guys. And thanks, David and Lenny. We'll talk to you soon. Bye.
How could a free gift cost so much? How could my need be worth your love? Still you surrender and broken on a cross. I stand amazed before a king who took the nails that were meant for me, enduring untold suffering to set his children free. You set your children free with open hands, open arms, found the way to my conviction, open eyes full of tears for my soul. Open hands, open arms, showing nothing but compassion, wrapped around me, gently drawing me home, drawing me home. I stand amazed before a king who took the nails that were meant for me, enduring untold suffering to set his children free. You set your children free. Open eyes full of tears for my soul. Yeah. Open hands, open arms, showing nothing but compassion, wrapped around me, gently drawing me home, drawing me world. You were your healing name. And as your breath gave out, I was set free. And as you felt the wounds, you were healing me. And as your breath gave out, I was set free. And as they pierced your side, I was made alive. That's the reason why. Moving hands, moving arms, I will lift you to the skies with open eyes full of joy.